we have time for
sure.
A hey, by yeah. the way, buddy, I was just commenting that you and I were in the same shirt, so I was referring to something.
Going to wear, so I got a multicolored tie. Yeah. But preachers preaching, yeah. Preachers preaching in Psalm 32, and in Psalm 32 I saw a verse here: "Thou art my hiding place; thou shalt preserve me from trouble; thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." We've been singing a lot of songs of praise and deliverance today. There was one time in Acts 27 when Paul was being sent to Rome, and his ship was getting ready to get underway, and the Lord warned him, and he warned the crew, don't get underway. They got underway anyway, and after Acts 27, 18 to 23, it says, "And they were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, and they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands a tackling of the ship. And neither sun or stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened to me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. The Lord stood by me."
By my side. is by my side.
Do you have a song, Dan?
You have one?
Not only is God by our side, but the potter knows the clay. I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. And even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're fighting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design. It'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design. It'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. He's planned a beautiful design. It'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter, he knows the clay, and he'll watch out for you, and he'll bring you through it.
Let's open our Bibles this morning and look at Psalm 32. Listen closely to these words as I read them. You follow me in your Bible here. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with the bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. I want to speak this morning about absolution of sin. Back about 955 years ago, the year 1056, Henry IV became ruler of the Holy Roman Empire. Headquarters at that time were in Germany. He was only 6 years old. Can you imagine a monarch of a great nation? 6 years old. Well, you can imagine he really doesn't have much power. Just a six-year-old boy. But he was the ruler of the empire. When he became 25, he's maturing now, getting a little sense. He began to recognize the power of the Roman Catholic Church back in that day. And he said, I'm not really the ruler around here. All I am is a figurehead. Old Pope Gregory down there in Rome, he's the one that's really running the show. And as a 25-year-old, he rebelled against the church. Shouldn't have done it. The Pope kicked him out of the church. He's the ruler. He's the emperor of the empire. Excommunicated. So he found himself really without power. He was a king, but he had no followers. Everybody was loyal to the church, not to him. So he began to inquire as to what he should do to get reinstated in the church and in the good graces of Pope Gregory. And somebody told him, said, you're going to have to get absolved from your sin. You've sinned against the Pope, therefore you've got to go down to Rome and get his forgiveness. So, with crown in hand, he made his journey to Rome, to the Pope's palace at the Vatican. He told the guard that he was there to get absolution from his sin from the Pope. So the guard sent word to Pope Gregory and tell him that King Henry is here to see him. It was in the winter time. And the Pope made Henry stand out in the cold all that day. And the next day. And the next. 3 days. Finally, at the end of the third day, the Pope came out and absolved him of all of his sins and took him back into the church. Now, when you think about this, you can't help but chuckle a little bit when you see a king with so much political clout standing out in the cold for 3 days trying to get absolved from his sin. But sin can be a real problem, as you and I ought to know. We look at this psalm, we find out what to do about sin. We find out how to get sin absolved. We find out how to deal with this sin question. And this is something that every single one of us has to deal with at one time or another. Now, if you've already had your sin problem taken care of and resolved with God, maybe you can go out and help somebody else get their lives straightened out. But in verse 1, look at that again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. He uses three words: transgressions, iniquities, sins. Transgression. What's a transgression? Well, Webster's dictionary defines transgression as crossing over the boundary, going beyond the limits, violating the law. Bible defines sin as, says sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is a violation of God's holy law. The trans part of the word means to go over, and the gression part of it means moving forward. So in our sinful condition, we transgress the laws of God. We walk over the line and move against the will of God that's revealed to us in the Word of God. Years ago, there was a Roman general who went down to Alexandria, Egypt. He was there on a personal crusade, and he was using the Roman army to do it. You know, he's throwing a little bit of weight around. After all, he's a general. And one of the senators from Rome was sent down to Alexandria to face the general, and he told him, he said, "General, what you're doing is wrong, and we'll not tolerate it anymore. You call your troops back in and get back to the business of the kingdom and do what you were sent down here to do." Well, the old general bucked up and he said, "I'll think about it and let you know what my decision is." That's when the senator, back in those days, they wore the swords. The senator took his sword out of its sheath, and he drew a circle around the general as he stood there. And he told him, "General," he said, "when you step across that line, you will have made your decision." Now we're talking about transgression. And I say to you today that the God has taken the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and He has drawn a circle around each and every one of us. And if we step across that line, that is transgression. Now, today we take that very lightly. But transgressing the law of God, going against the will of God, violating the Word of God, is not a light thing. It carries with it a pretty heavy penalty. Now, we'll come back to this in a minute, but I want you to jump down to verse 3 here. He said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." Today in the United States of America, people take tranquilizers and pills and such as that. And I'm not making light of people who have problems and have to take medication to deal with it. I take 14 pills a day myself. I don't know what I'd be without them. But anyway, I think sometimes that about 90% of our problems is nothing in the world but the hand of God upon our lives. Really. Heavy in the day, heavy in the night. He said, "My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Just dried up. Stressed out. Under great pressure. You hear the word stress used a lot today. Psalmist said, "The hand of the Lord was heavy upon me because of my transgressions." But verse 1 tells us, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Forgiven. Look at that. Aren't you glad that there's a provision for forgiveness for that person who has stepped over the line with God? Blessed is he whose sin is covered. And somebody will say, "But wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't the Bible say that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." If I cover my sins, I'll not prosper. But yet the psalmist said, "Blessed is he whose sin is covered." Now that "covered" that he is talking about there doesn't mean hid or concealed. But he's talking about the covering that God makes for sin. You and I can sweep ours under the carpet, so to speak. But it's there, it's still there. But when God covers sin, it's taken away. Never comes to light again. Old Adam tried to cover his, didn't he? I like that. They sewed fig leaves together and made them clothing because they realized they were naked. But when God came into the picture, they ran and hid themselves, didn't they? Their covering didn't work. Like Achan. We talked about Achan the other day. Achan, when they went against Jericho, he took the silver and the gold and the Babylonish garment. After he got them, he didn't know what to do with them. So he said, "I'll hide them." So he dug a hole in the ground and buried them there and covered them over. But God still knew where they were. He didn't get by with it. Jacob went in to his father, tried to deceive him, said, "I'm Esau. Come here, son, let me feel of you." "Well, His mother had put the skins of the kids on his arms because Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was smooth, and Isaac felt a hairy skin on his arms. Yep, you're Esau, all right, because he was blind. He had to go by feeling. But you know, Jacob, in the long run, didn't get by with it. It didn't work for him. A good illustration of this over in 1 Kings chapter 14. Over there, you've got a king and a queen. They had a little boy. Beautiful little boy. He was a prince. He was the one who should grow up and follow his father on the throne. But that little boy took sick. And all the doctors in the kingdom of Israel ministered to him with all the remedies that medical science had at that time. But none of them could help him. Poor little fella. In a private conversation with his wife, the king said, "Honey, I'm afraid our little boy is going to die. Our only hope is in God. But you know, I don't know how to get in touch with him." And his wife said, "Maybe we could go to the prophet of God and he'll help us." The king said, "Yeah, but the problem is I can't do that. I've persecuted that prophet something terrible, and I've treated him so badly that he won't have anything to do with us. He wouldn't help us at all." Then he thought for a moment. He said, "I've got an idea. That old prophet is nearly blind. He can't see. And maybe you could dress yourself up and disguise and go see him. Go down here, take off your royal queenly dress, and go down here and borrow a dress from the cook in the kitchen or the housekeeper or somebody like that. Dress up like a common person and go see that prophet. He won't know who you are, and you tell him that you have a son that's sick and that you need his help. He'll never know who it is." So that's what she did. She dressed herself up in some common clothes and she went down to that prophet's house and she knocked on his door. And that old prophet Ahijah says, "Come in, Mrs. Jeroboam. I've got some bad news for you." You see, the Lord had already visited Ahijah and told him that the king's wife is coming to see you. So the point is that if you have sin in your life, it needs to be dealt with. Verse 2 said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Doesn't charge your sins against you. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? That you and I, as a child of God, can go out here and sin, and God will not charge our sins against us. He won't hold it against us. Think about that. I'm not preaching heresy. That's the truth. There was a time when I had a whole book of sins charged against me. But through the grace of a loving God and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, he cleansed me from all of my sin. Jesus paid the sin debt on Calvary. That's what the cross was all about. Now they're blotted out. He's forgiven my sins and my iniquities and my transgressions. But more than that, that's just the negative part. Now for the positive part, he has imputed unto me righteousness. We studied this in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans in Sunday school. So now I've got some assets. I don't know really what they are. I know I've got a mansion. I know I'll have some crowns. And I know that in the closet, in my mansion in glory, there's going to be some robes of righteousness. Amen. So that's something positive, isn't it? Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. I'm glad that that doesn't read, blessed is the man who is a multi-millionaire. I'm glad he didn't say, blessed is the man who doesn't have any health problems. Amen. But blessed is the man whose transgression is covered. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose iniquities will not be charged against him. That's the man that's blessed. If you fit into that category, just lift your voice in praise to the Lord and give him thanks. Verse 5, he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's Old Testament. Now let's go over to the New Testament and read practically the same thing in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Down in verse 5 he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What is that? Verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now the word cleanseth is a wonderful word. It's a verb, but the tense of it, it's the present perfect tense. That means that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. That means that the blood of Jesus Christ is presently cleansing me. That means that the blood of Jesus Christ shall always and forever cleanse me continually from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, past, present, and future, of sin. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed me from my sins when I was a young 14-year-old boy, whenever I came to the Jesus Christ and accepted him as my personal Savior. That was 71 years ago. And through those 71 years, he has continued to cleanse me. And I expect it to continue to cleanse me until the day I die. And then I won't need it anymore. Now that's good news. That's gospel. You say, does that apply to me? Certainly. Look down at verse 8. We're still there in 1 John 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now that is self-deception. It's terrible when you deceive somebody else, but it's doubly bad when you deceive yourself. We're void of the truth, he says. You read on down to verse 9, what does it say? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. That's grace. I confess, he forgives. I confess, he forgives. And to cleanse us. Cleanseth us from all sin, past, present, future. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Grace of God. There we have the forgiveness of our transgressions. This is what covers our sins. This is what justifies the ungodly. This is what imputes the righteousness of God to us. Continue on the second chapter here. I'm still over in 1 John, verse 1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If any man sin, when you get in trouble with the law and have to appear before a judge, there's one thing that you need more than anything else. It's a good lawyer. Preferably one that knows the judge. That helps, yes. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2 of chapter 2. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not only is he our advocate with the Father, but whatever I owe, whatever my fine is, whatever my bail is, he's the one that pays the bill. Jesus paid it all. So transgressions, forgiven. Sins, covered. Iniquities, not charged against me. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow, the song says. Now I make no claim as to having done anything in my whole life that would merit me even a little space in heaven. Not even a cabin in the corner of glory land. I've been in the pulpit, preached probably 9,500 sermons during the past 61 years. And that's conservatively speaking. But I make no claim to having done anything that would give me a key to the front door of glory. Jesus did on Calvary what I could not do for myself. And all of these years that I've served him, it's only been my thanksgiving to him for what he's done for me. And all you need for all eternity is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. All you need is him. He who knows the Father knows the Son. And he who has the Son has life. Do you know him today? Has he come into your heart and cleansed you from your sins? If he hasn't, it's about time you came down this aisle and said, I want to be saved. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. You confess Christ with your mouth thou shalt be saved. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For time and for eternity, transgressions be forgiven. Your sins will be covered. Your iniquities will not be charged against you anymore. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God. We don't understand it. We don't deserve it. But in your love and mercy, you were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if there's one today who has heard this message, who in their heart has never repented of their sins, they've never confessed to you that they're a sinner, they've never called upon you for salvation, I pray that today will be the day when they will lift their voice in desperation and cry out, Lord, I'm lost. Save me from my sins. Save me. Give me eternal life. Make me righteous in your sight. Cleanse me from my sins, and I shall be clean. Father, thank you for being a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. And you can hear the most feeble cry from the most wicked heart, and you'll have mercy. Thank you for your goodness and grace toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
497.
So we sing this song this morning. Somebody here may need to come to Christ. This is your opportunity to make things right with God. Just as you are, Christ will receive you. You don't have to clean up your life. He'll do that for you. Will you come today? Let him come into your heart. Make you a new creature in Christ. That's a beautiful invitation. Just as I am. Samson, we're so happy that you could be with us today. Appreciate your being here. Will you dismiss our service in prayer?
Gracious God, how glad we are, how joyous we are to learn and to memorize that our sins have been blotted out, that our transgression has been covered. Not only covered, Father, as the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed out as a covering until that Lamb would come who would give himself as a sacrifice for all. And we thank you that we now understand that our sins have been blotted out, that they have been buried in your memory and put away forever. The sins that we have committed in our lives, in our past, in our present, and even the sins of we will commit in the future. They're all covered.
Amen.
By that precious blood. And we thank you, Father, that you are able, in your sovereignty but design, to put away in your memory and forget our sins, put them out of your sight, and so that we stand before you, cleansed and forgiven, with all sin, past, present, and future, eradicated, put in the as far as the east is from the west, put away. And Father, we just thank you this morning that we can say with Isaiah, my sins are blotted out. I know, fear that we could come before you cleansed and forgiven, and wear the imputed robes of righteousness which you have given to us, which you have placed upon us, and now you see us perfect in your sight. We praise you for this. We thank you in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Well, let me make sure there's nothing to sign while you guys are doing that.